Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists, Phil, John, and McKenna are back, and we're doing another defining episode today. We're going to be talking about Joe Hunter's defining episode from Survivor 48, Masterclass in Deception, episode number 5, the one where he goes over to Eva and has been just like claimed as, you know, the best thing to happen, right? This was re-aired on a Saturday. It made Joe into Superman. Blake was 97.4% sure that he was going to win this season. And wouldn't you know it, he ultimately doesn't end up winning the season. But this is the episode that we're doing, and I'm ready to dive in. So where do we want to start?
What makes this Joe episode different than the Colby episode is, yes, he's good at challenges, blah, blah, blah. But Joe's defining moment is a character moment where I think Colby's is, yes, it's emotional and a part of his character, but it is strategic, whether it was a good strategic move or a bad strategic move. I think it's Joe's is more like heartwarming and heart-wrenching, and you really connect with Joe the character because of his just dedication to Eva and dedication to Eva in this moment when he's kind of not supposed to care about her because they're on separate tribes and the walls are up, kind of thing. So I think it's just such a different view than Colby.
And also, McKenna, I just wanted to bring this up because, like you said, it's a character moment. That's what's so defining about him. I was just looking through the episodes that we've chosen to do for the series. I think this is only one of two where the person we're talking about doesn't go to tribal council. Most of the time when we're talking about the defining moment, it's about, even if it's like Jenna Lewis, it wasn't about who she voted out, but it still was very much about like she was starting to understand the game. There was some savviness there. What's going on? Joe doesn't go to tribal in this episode. In fact, this actually has one of the crazier tribal councils, maybe the last great tribal council of the season up until the Shaheen boot, where we have Bianca go home. Nothing to do with Joe, right? Joe was on Bianca starting tribe. I don't think we ever saw them interact. But that's what we get. But this is all about just this guy who goes above and beyond the game, says it's not about the game. This is more than that. And everybody respects him. And what I think is so unbelievable about this and why it's such a great defining episode and a great defining moment and why it's one that I'm really excited to see how we figure out how this might help him or hurt him going into the season 50. Everybody saw Joe and Eva have this moment together. Joe and Eva go through the entire game, get to final three. Nobody's ever mad at them one time, and neither one of them wins anyway. And I think that is pretty insane because it kind of goes back to our Colby conversation of Colby was really well-liked by everybody on that you know, Barramundi tribe on Australia doesn't win. Same thing happens here. We have, you know, maybe the ultimate hero, but he finishes third and only gets one vote at the end. And he did this in front of every single person who is left in the game. So they all know what it's all about for Joe and Eva. So I just think that that's really an interesting way to look at this too, of like, it defines Joe as a player. It defines what Joe's all about. It also defines that, you know, maybe Joe's a better character than he is player of Survivor because he doesn't win.
You know what's even more interesting about this episode, especially for this series about defining players? Joe doesn't have a single confessional in it.
That's true.
This is the episode where, Phil, you said afterwards, Joe didn't have a confessional. He's not winning the game.
So you bring up a good point, John. And for me, what defines this episode for Joe is not even him speaking. It's just him looking at Eva after while she's doing the table maze. That cut to him just like ready to like pounce, do something of like, I need to help her, but containing himself, I think is so incredibly powerful. So maybe even more than him calming her down and giving the hug and the squeeze. And it just his dedication to someone that he knew for however many days, a week, and is that locked in. I think we all hear about how Survivor really bonds you because you are surviving the elements, you're dealing with strategy, dealing with other people, and a week is like 3 months. But how their bond got that strong in that short of a time, where Joe can sense that Eva needs somebody, I think is really the most powerful part of this whole thing. I don't think he needs a confessional being like, so glad I helped Eva in that moment.
Yeah. And I think also like this happens on day 11. They get split up on day 8. So they haven't been together for day 9 or day 10. So they've been apart for 2 full days by this point. And Joe's gone to a tribal council. And this episode actually starts off with Joe having other great moments, these conversations with Shaheen and Camilla and Kyle, which ultimately bond that group to end up being 4 of the final 6 of the season, right? And so we see that there's so much emotion and there's so much just like real human from Joe in this episode. But yeah, doesn't speak. And we don't need it. He doesn't even get a confessional in that early portion. And again, we don't need it because it's all said just by the actions. But I'm so glad, John, that you remembered that to bring that up, because that is very important to talk about when we're talking about this is the most defining episode for a person. We don't actually get them talking to the camera for a second in the episode.
But I think it's also so important for Joe, and it's why Joe is coming back for season 50, right? Because he is such a powerful character that he doesn't need to have that confessional for all the Facebook casual Survivor fans to fall in love with him. And that, I think, is one of those things that, again, a lot of like the super Survivor fandom looks at is like, well, why is Joe coming back? They don't understand how much the general viewing audience love this man in this season for everything that happens in this episode. This is an episode where he comes back from being duped because of an idol play, then bonds with his tribe and shares the backstory, where they're all having that fantastic scene where they're sharing the backstories of their parents. Mm-hmm. And we learn about his dad and his mom during Jim Crow times and everything. And then we get this powerful moment where he goes over to help Eva. But more importantly, that I think really defines his character, he stays on that mat and he's allowed to leave.
Yeah. And won't break that rule.
It's something that we can overlook, but in the context of this series specifically, such an important minor detail about Joe's character. We know, based on episodes further in this season, he is loyal to a fault. He's also just such a law-abiding citizen. He will stand there and he will wait. As soon as he was given the moment, he was like, yeah, I'm gone. But without that permission, he would have never left that night.
It does blow my mind. I understand that people get frustrated with Survivor 48, but like anybody who's like, I don't like Joe or I don't like Eva, I have no time for you. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I could get not liking their game necessarily, but to not like them as people, there's something wrong with you at that point. Like, these are just two pure people. I don't know what more you could want. The amount of comments I had to delete off of some of our videos about Joe and Eva were crazy because people just like, they get into this internet hate mode and it makes me so happy that people like Joe exist in this world because, you know, I get bogged down so often with doing this podcast and then my job, which is also very like, you know, social media based, you get so bogged down in just the negativity. It's unrelenting. And then you just start to think that all people are like that, that it's like, you know, here comes a Captain America type. We all now must hate him because he's the Captain America type. We don't like that person. And it just makes me happy that, you know, Joe exists. And that he's the person who's got a voice on TV, while a lot of these other people who hated Joe are the you know, photo-less things on, you know, whatever social media platform. That makes me happy. And I hope you remain photo-less because that's really scary and kind of disturbing. But it does. And that's a great point. It just made me think of that. So thank you.
It's also like Colby. Colby's defining episode was very Jerry involved. Joe's defining moment is very Eva involved, and neither of their female counterparts are on this season. So to see them navigate this game without their either rival or closest ally will be very interesting to see where their character development goes from here, because Joe's character in 48 was very Eva focused. And so now to come into 50, does he do the same thing? Adaptability, once again, does he take someone under his wing? Or does he, you know, bro down with Colby? Does he bro down with Ozzy and Jonathan and all that? Or does he take a different route?
I think that's the biggest question mark about Joe going into this season is we just saw him play one of the most loyal games ever. And it just finished airing. Like, he kind of gets this advantage of everyone knowing how loyal he is. Like, we talked about on the Kyle episode, how Kyle is at this disadvantage because everyone sees how strategic he is and how much he can scheme and lie to your face. Everyone saw the opposite of Joe this season. Joe proved to be the most loyal ally you could possibly have to a fault that you could trick him because of how loyal he was to you.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where Joe's advantage comes in. If he got permission to lie, cheat, and steal his way through this game.
Yeah, he in this episode, more than any of the others, this is where he makes the commitment of, this is the game I'm playing now, right? I am playing based on, you are the people that I like. You are the people that I've shared the most with. I will never betray you. It will never happen. I'll come for you, Shaheen, after I think you're coming for me, but I am not going to come for any of you. This is what it is. Like, I'm going to step off the mat to be there for Eva because that's the person I am. I'm going to have these conversations that are really deep, share things with these people because that's where we're at in the game. That's what Joe is all about. I think Joe is going to play a more similar game in this season. But the question is, he doesn't have Eva. So what does his similar game without Eva truly look like? Because now he doesn't have somebody that he's an absolute ride or die. I will never vote you out. I will never talk shit about you at the final tribal council. He's not going to have that level of bond with somebody on this season. So I'm very curious how that's going to end up shaking out.
If we hear the phrase, I'm the arsonist and not the fire captain this season, I don't know. Maybe Joe's winning it. So if he gets the permission from his family and friends to not be the good guy, and if he cuts Kyle like that, like, these are things that we see in this episode of just loyalty and love and emotion. If he cuts all that out coming into 50, who knows? But that's also not Joe. So,
yeah.
And I mean, stepping beyond this episode a little bit, because we have to at some point. In the episode that we watched with Kyle, the Shaheen Boot, that's the episode where Joe talks about his sister and everything and how Survivor was his sister's dream. And you have to think that's impacting his decision to come back and play the game again, right? Mm-hmm. Not only did he get the opportunity to play once, which his sister wanted to do, he's been asked to come back again. Mm-hmm. And that has to be a huge part of him and might influence him to keep this loyal image that he has already. And no, is he going to get an Eva 2.0 relationship? No, I don't think you could even try to replicate that. I don't think there is any ounce of Joe who thinks he could replicate that. Because everything, I truly believe, he tries to make a relationship with someone like that, it's just going to feel hollow in comparison. Mm-hmm. So what I think is more interesting is knowing that Kyle duped him. Mm-hmm. And that was a direct result of his loyalty to Kyle.
And yeah, well, that's where a little more Joe, aware.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he's just... In that Kyle episode, one of the best lines we get of the entire season, in my opinion, is when Joe says, I have to think about who is saying what to me and why they're saying it to me. And ultimately, like, it's his, like, you know, stain on his face type of moment where he made the wrong decision based on that. But that moment has to be haunting him going into this season.
Yeah.
And it's good that he was able to watch himself back and learn from it, where he learns what works for him, the loyalty, the bigger alliance. But then he knows what little nuances people did and tried to pull to maybe adapt from that.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be as loyal, blindly loyal to people, like puppy dog loyal here. But I do think that he's still going to try to play a very loyal game. I think so far, everybody that we've talked about in these first four episodes is going to try to play a similar game to the one they played the first time. Kyle and Joe have their work cut out for them more than Jenna and Colby because they're fresh in everybody's minds and because they're not going to have a clean number one that they can do everything with the way we saw Joe and Kyle do it with Camilla and Eva. But I do feel like he's going to try to be loyal, but he's going to have his guard up a lot more, right? Because I think he thought he was going to get more votes at that final tribal council based on who he was as a person, mm-hmm. how everybody saw this big moment. I mean, this happens in the first five seasons of Survivor. It's a game-winning move. What happened here in Master of Deception or whatever,
yeah.
Master of Deception. That is a game-winning move in the first couple seasons of Survivor because everybody would just be like, it's the greatest person ever. We got to have that person win. But in New Era, it's not enough to get you over the top. And I think Joe's going to have that in the back of his mind as he's going through the game. He's going to say, I can be loyal, but I can't be the one who gets played. I got to be the one who's the attacker this time. I got to be the one who makes the move on Kyle before Kyle makes the move on me. Maybe that means he's going to make a move too early, but I've said about a lot of people on this season, there's a lot of like Sierra Dawn Thomas potential on this season where you can finish in a much worse place but play an infinitely better game mm-hmm. that actually would have been a winning game that helps elevate mm-hmm. your legacy in the Survivor community. And I think that there's a lot of players on this season who can learn from that because there's a lot of Final Tribal Council losers and Joe is one of them. And if you mm-hmm. lost at Final Tribal, that means you really weren't playing a game that ever had a chance to win. So if Joe comes out and finishes seventh place, but it's because he gets got trying to take out a big threat, that's probably a better game than what he did this time.
Yeah.
Similar to Colby in All Stars, right? Where he takes out Hatch.
Yeah.
One of the interesting aspects about Joe that I've thought about as we've discussed this episode more and more, Joe is one of two of the New Era cast members who are characters and not just savvy game players. Mm-hmm. And having just watched his season, seeing the reception to him as a character, how does that influence the way he portrays himself in this season? Because Colby's also a character. He plays that, like, he's the same archetype, right? Mm-hmm. But, and he does the same thing over and over again. But that was also in a time when reality television was so focused on character and it was so important to what reality TV was. We saw people.
He became a celebrity. Colby became a celebrity from Survivor. Joe's not becoming a celebrity from Survivor.
Exactly. So I'm just wondering, does a man like Joe go into the season and be like, everyone loved me because I was this big hero character? Or does he go in lot of people loved me, but this portion of the fandom really didn't like me because I don't think he cares about that. You don't think he cares about being a character whatsoever?
I don't think so. I don't think he cares because you know what? I think Joe's one of those guys who's not chronically online, right? Yeah. I think he is somebody who lives his life. He's got his kids. He's got his family. He's got, you know, he's got his job. I think he lives his life. And I think honestly, the way that he was, you know, he did a lot of media during the season, which you don't normally see players do. Maybe they'll get a one-off here or there, but they don't get all of it. And so I do think with him getting so much media and stuff and the and him being seen as so heroic, if you are being seen as a character, you're being seen as the hero character. He doesn't care about that. He's not being seen as Q. And I think that there is another character on this season, and I think it's Jonathan.
Sure.
I think he also falls into that from the new era. And he's really not being seen as Jonathan because a lot of people were pulling for Joe here, whereas a lot of people started to get tired of Jonathan towards the end of the game, even if I don't necessarily agree with all of that hate. I don't think it's gonna be weighing on him really at all. I think he's gonna be like Colby. If he has the choice to choose what is better for him socially, he's probably gonna make that decision over what is better for him strategically.
McKenna, going on your point about celebrityism. And Survivor, we're kind of getting back there again, aren't we?
I wouldn't say to the same effect of, say, Dr. Mike naming his kids after survivors.
Sure.
I've named a few fish, but like, I don't think we're getting to that level. We have social media fandom, but it's all contained. It doesn't reach, you know, many homes like it did with the golden boy of Colby. Yes, this moment of Joe and Eva blasted throughout, but if you're not hitting the right pages, if you're not getting the right things, you're not gonna really see it or know what's going on. Where Colby was like,
Colby's on
Texan,
he's on Curb Your Enthusiasm,
Joe's like, not getting a soap up. Spot, a TV spot, like.
But Joe threw out an opening pitch after this episode, didn't he?
He did, but that was also for the A's, who their attendance is like 27 people.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
If it's hometown or if it's, you know, that kind
it's
of
still stuff. The A's. I mean, yeah,
it's still kind of a big deal.
Team, but it's essentially the same as a minor league team at this point. So. All right. That's Joe, right? We're good.
Yeah, that's Joe. Yeah.
Moving on to Stephanie LaGrossa Kendrick next time. That's where we're going next with I Will Not Give Up. That is her episode. That's going to be episode number 9 of Palau. So make sure you get ready for that one next time. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Let us know in the comments if we picked the right Joe episode and what you think he's going to be like on Survivor season 50. And that's all we got. Become a patron, patreon.com/a specialist. And we'll see you with Stephanie next time.